Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Casting Seeds, the only holistic health podcast that uses God's singular truth to give you individual discernment.
I'm Savannah, your host.
Jeremiah, your co-host. And
and this is our second body mapping episode.
Yeah, we left off on pimple popping, and now we're going over to lingua.
We did not recommend popping pimples, by the way. It was actually what pimples were saying on certain parts of your face. But yes, lingua is correct. We are going to be talking about the tongue today and everything that your tongue does and what it is saying to you, depending on the shape, smell,
color.
Ooh, good job. Yeah, the sensations, everything like that. So you guys loved the body mapping episode, which made me so happy. And it's nice to kind of break it up with the, I guess, more serious tone of learning about the first, second, and third trimester. So thank you for voting on Instagram that you guys wanted another body episode. And again, and remember, follow me, the Holistic Wife, on Instagram, Jeremiah's Holistic Husband.
I don't really post too much about health just yet.
But he doesn't post about anything, so you really don't need to follow him. Unless you want to see embarrassing photos and videos of Jeremiah scaring me, that is probably the only reason why you need to request to follow him.
Or if you just want to talk, get a guy's opinion or something.
Right. That is true. Yeah. But if you guys remember from the first episode, we are not just going to talk about what all the negative or positive side effects are to how your tongue looks and what it's doing. We're also going to give you solutions for each thing that we're going to mention today. And Jeremiah is going to be my lovely model. And we also are going to have you guys vote as well, or email us, message us, DM us, on whether or not you guys want us to actually start filming these episodes. We have some really big names coming that we're going to be recording with and interviewing soon on the podcast. Not all podcasts do any type of filming at all. Normally, they just do all 100% podcast. I know a lot of people have suggested for us to film, and I know it could be easier too with the things that we're discussing, especially today. We're going to be looking at our tongues.
So I'm glad I'm not on camera.
I know. Yeah. You guys would see me looking like my normal self on Instagram. I don't put on any makeup. My hair's always in a bun. I try to rep the huge. But yeah, Jeremiah's tongue. I wonder what it's going to say. I'm excited. Do you want to analyze mine too? You don't have to be alone.
No, I'm cool.
It's okay. We'll analyze both of ours, so you're not just on the hot seat.
Okay.
Okay. So we are going to first talk about teeth marks today. Teeth marks around the sides of the tongue. And if you guys look into the mirror and you stick out your tongue nice and wide. And when I say stick out your tongue, I don't mean go pointed. Like when you go, that tends to be the sound you make.
You gotta do it.
Yeah. Is more of the sound that you want, which is really funny too. Looking at you doing these sounds. When you're looking at teeth marks on the side of your tongue, you want to see those ridges, where it literally looks like your teeth are biting into the sides of your tongue. Normally, the sign of teeth marks is a type of nutritional deficiency, and the likelihood that your digestion is somewhat impaired to very impaired, especially in your spleen. That's normally what the teeth marks mean. When your spleen is malfunctioning, you tend to feel sluggish. Around 70% of patients and clients that I personally see, but patients in general for doctors, meet for the first time. They always complain about being really tired throughout the day or feeling like they need coffee. And people tend to go straight to the adrenals. But normally it's also not being able to digest your food fully. So your body's working extra hard because it's eating things that are super heavy and it doesn't have enough fiber. And a good way to compare that as well is checking your stool. If your gallbladder, if you tend to, like when you wipe, if it tends to be a little yellowy, then your gallbladder is overactive and your spleen is underactive. And the teeth marks and your tongue confirm that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So foods that you should eat to help nourish your spleen. The top ones are garlic, black pepper, ginger, cayenne pepper, ginseng, cinnamon, horseradish. Yum. I love horseradish. Jeremiah hates it.
Nope.
Remember? Wait. when I you guys, a few weeks ago, I was eating one of my favorite cheeses, and it's a horseradish infused Havarti cheese. I was walking by Jeremiah and he goes yeah, he literally he stuck out his tongue for a piece of cheese, and I know he hates horseradish, but I was like, okay. And so I gave him a huge piece and he literally choked. He was like, yeah. It was so funny. Dill seed and astragalus are really great foods that you can eat to nourish your spleen specifically if none of those really sound familiar or good to you besides those herbs and spices. Are adaki beans, yellow squash, mung bean, kidney beans, alfalfa, leeches, barley, millet, beetroot. I love beetroots. Oats, which I always recommend for any of these beans or oats, you soak them and make them
sprouted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was about to say overnight, so thank you. You corrected me mentally. Carrots, parsley, celery, parsnips, and chicken, as long as it's not super overly boiled and stiff. You want to make sure it's easy to chew, and I would even recommend a sous vide chicken. There's also pumpkin, fennel, any type of root vegetable is pretty good, but I'd normally recommend a dark root vegetable like a purple sweet potato versus like a potato or a regular sweet potato. Fish is also great because it's that lighter, easier digestible type of protein. And then sweet potatoes in general, I already have on the list because I put root vegetables, turnips, and any yams as well. Again, darker in any of them. Also foods high in chlorophyll, like leafy greens, algae, kale, and chard.
Wait, you can eat algae?
Yes, you can.
Interesting.
Different types.
I have to try that one day.
Will you?
No.
That's what I thought. I didn't believe you. I was shocked for a second. I'm going to hold you to it. You said it on the podcast.
Algae with barbecue sauce.
That's Jeremiah's favorite. He'll put barbecue sauce on anything, including algae, I guess.
With some smoke seasoning on it, yeah.
Ugh. Okay, before I gag, let's move on to sore tongue. So a sore tongue is a very sure sign of nutrition deficiency.
Sore in what way?
Sore like...
A muscle sore?
Kind of.
Or like... To touch sore?
Both. But I would say specifically more like when you move your tongue. And like, I guess it's kind of, it's both. Because when you move your tongue or use it, it feels heavy and dense and sore. Mm. It's, you got to think of your mouth as the beginning of your digestive tract, right? When you're chewing and masticating your food, using saliva and starting that digestive juices, right? Just the action of that starts your digestive tract. So when you're doing that and in that process, you feel soreness, like you have almost like a swollen throat or your tongue feels heavy. Everything about your tongue almost feels inflamed. Then you know the beginning of your digestive tract is telling you something about what's going on in the rest of your digestive tract. Normally, it often leads to a vitamin K or like an iron deficiency. Vitamin K is copper, and copper and iron work hand in hand together. Vitamin B6 as well is normally a sign if you have like low vitamin B6.
Okay.
So a lot, and sometimes B12 has been thrown in there, but I personally have only ever read B6 being like the number one thing. But you should be taking liquid mineral supplements and start to drink nettle teas, which are really high in these much needed minerals. And also, I don't think you and I have ever experienced that because we also have a ton of natural sea salts that we take, and yeah, we take a variety of them. We don't just only order. We've been swapping up our brands to get different types of minerals from all around the world, which I think is really important. I know people are obsessed with Celtic sea salt. I was for a very long time, and then they started getting overpriced. And then I realized when I'm getting all of my minerals from one source, that's not the healthiest ideal. So we have swapped over to now a French brand, which is way cheaper. And then once we run out of this one, we're going to move on to another brand. And because they're not super in right now, they're not going to be Hootenannies expensive.
I've never heard that.
Hootenannies?
No.
Like telling me a Hootenanny?
Who's your nanny?
I missed you on here during last week's episode. So get your iron levels checked and check out for vitamin B6 deficiency, which normally leads to a B12 deficiency. That's why they normally compare them. Make sure your folic acid, okay, or better known as your folate or copper deficiencies are also okay. So check for folic acid, copper deficiency, iron deficiency, and B6 and B12.
I hope you have your notepads, people, because this is a lot for me.
And we have a lot more to go over.
Oh, man.
So that's why the sore tongue is different. Now we're going to talk about a burning tongue, okay?
Like on fire burning?
Yeah, so think of a muscle soreness versus like that nervy burning sensation that you'd get in a muscle.
Okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the sign of that is that your stomach is lacking gastric digestive juices. And normally you get this burning sensation. It's not like your whole tongue is on fire. It's normally kind of in the back of your throat. So you start getting kind of like that acidic burning sensation on your tongue.
Interesting.
And you can also experience a lot of tummy troubles at the same time if you have the symptom. Normally that's obviously further along the line, but if you can catch it further, like in advance, where you have like a burning sensation, especially after you eat a really fatty meal, and then all you feel is like a burning, tickly feeling in the back of your tongue, and especially if it goes to your whole tongue, then it's more likely that you'll start to get stomach pain and sensations. But these are things that you can fix. You can try taking a spoon of Swedish bitters daily to increase the gastric juices, especially before you eat, which we love those. We have them here.
That is so brutal.
I think they're sweet and delicious. I love Swedish bitters. I don't know
what you're talking about.
I give it to my clients after I work on them to help their digestive juices move and their liver function. Drink a cup of dandelion tea twice a day. I would recommend double up on it before bed. And then when you wake up in the morning, have it. And then I would actually say even midday. If it's that bad, do it three times a day, but double up before bed.
No, thank you.
Take a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar before each meal and mix it with a little water and honey, you guys, because Jeremiah is gagging thinking about it. Also, hyaluronic acid tablets can help adjust your gastral juices in your stomach. Again, do it before you eat, okay? Because that's how you control the acidic juices in your stomach and what's going to happen to your digestive flow for the rest of your small intestine and large intestine and colon and bladder and everything else. All right, let's move on to a swollen tongue and or a thick white coating.
Okay.
Jeremiah. Yeah, I was going to say, let's stick out your tongue. Let me see. But like far.
I can't go for it.
Yeah, you can. So you have a little bit of a white, and the reason why I asked you to is because you kind of have a little bit of a white coating in the back of your throat. It doesn't go all the way. How about me?
Can't really see. Open wider.
That probably means I don't have any white.
You're probably good then.
So you have a white coating in the back of your throat. And is your tongue, does it feel swollen at all?
No. But okay. Tell me, Doc, am I going to lose it?
We're going to chop it off. These are the indicators that there is too much mucus in your body.
Okay.
So in Eastern medicine, it means that your body is running too internally wet. So taking a drier herb, like having a tea with maybe like cinnamon. Oh, cinnamon can be kind of mucilogenic.
That's interesting because when I talk, I tend to produce a lot more saliva. So maybe from now on, I'll start especially drinking something a little bit more dry.
Yeah, especially before
we record.
I'm trying to think of drying herbs off the top of my head, and for some reason I can't think of any right now. Astringent herbs. That's what I was trying to think of. Because it's not, the word's not drying, but astringent makes you go like, kind of, in your mouth, where you almost want more moisture. Mm-hmm. But if you have too much moisture or mucus, really good astringent herbs are any black, especially black tea, but green tea and oolong tea and some white teas. But
that's my favorite.
I know they're all your favorite. And no wonder why you probably like them and crave them, because your body internally is a little too mucusy, right? So blackberry leaf and root are really good. Calendula flowers we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Horseweed or Canadian fleabane is also what it's called. Eyebright red raspberry leaf, which is one of my favorites. Rose petals. I've been drinking rose all day today. No wonder why I don't have a thick white coat. It's not possible.
Cheater.
White oak bark and witch hazel leaves, which is one of my favorite. And one of my final favorites is yarrow. I love the way yarrow makes me feel.
The blue stuff, right?
Yarrow is not blue. What?
I'm thinking about that drink, that boba tea. It's blue.
Taro.
There
That's
you
purple.
Go.
Purple.
Oh, it's purple. Colorblind.
Yarrow, not taro. And these are all really great herbs. Just so funny. So also when there's higher mucus in your body, whether it's your nasal cavities or your throat, your mouth, your tongue, mm-hmm. that normally means that you have a higher amount of bacteria in your body. So doing, which one of my favorite oral routines actually is brushing my, or gargling before I brush my teeth with hydrogen peroxide. And getting like a deep clean out and then scraping my tongue as well. I loved a good tongue scraper. Jeremiah knows it. And I get mad when he doesn't use it. I'm like, I'm not going to make out with you. Go scrape your tongue. He knows it too. He's like, but with that, I also, he's blushing right now. Not a lot of people do it. It's like not a common thing.
Yeah, you just have to marry someone in holistic health. It gets common quick.
True. And then after that, you're going to swish around in your mouth coconut oil for about a minute and a half to two minutes.
I've never seen you do that one.
I'm telling you my favorite routine. Doesn't mean I do it perfectly all the time. I do have coconut oil, though, at my office, and I do swish it a lot there. Mm. And then what's the last one? I can't think. Oh, and then you can brush your teeth with the coconut oil. You can also add peppermint to it, which is nice.
Yeah, the dogs like that.
They do. And then once a week or twice a week, if you're really trying to get rid of buildup plaque, brush with activated charcoal because it's very abrasive. So you don't want to use it consistently. Mm-hmm. But that's a good way to bring minerals back into your mouth. Some people also use bentonite clay as well. But with these signs of bacteria overload in your body, there's possibly also an elevation of yeast. So to tell the difference whether or not it's yeast or bacteria, sometimes the coating will be more of a yellowish, not so white. Mm. And you can also tell by the smell. So the smell of it, like if you scrape it on your finger, which I know is going to sound gross. Ew, are you going to do it? Oh my gosh, she's going to do it. What does it smell like to you?
Nothing.
Okay, so it's no, I don't want to smell it. Oh, we may be married, but I ain't no way. I love you.
Can I have a kiss?
Later after you scrape that tongue. So here are the main things to do. Solutions, okay? Cut down on your dairy products. These foods are mucus producing. Just
done.
Raw dairy is obviously great for some people, but it does have a lot of microbacterias, like microbes in it. And not everyone can handle raw dairy. You also have to build your tolerance up to it because people have been born never even having it in their lives. So you got to slowly add it into your microbiome. And while you do, you may have this thick coating starting to happen and you may have an overproduction of bacteria. So then cut back. Also, any type of superfoods that you consider a superfood for your body is a great way to counterbalance an overgrowth of bacteria. So whether you do really great with a more high protein diet, more of a vegetarian style diet, pescatarian, I don't care what it is. Whatever your superfood is that makes you not sluggish throughout the day, eat that more consistently. Mine is a good bone broth. I feel amazing when I drink that throughout the day, and Jeremiah knows that.
Yeah, mine's a Snicker bar.
Get out of here. I'm going to kick you off this podcast. I can't. drinking Podarco tea or Podarco, as many people say. Normally that is a kind of a super herb that helps with yeast. So drinking that consistently throughout the day for a few weeks will help tone down your yeast. I prefer tinctures rather than drinking teas all the time, but everybody's different. Also, Byrona is a really good yeast and bacteria. It helps with overproduction of saliva in the mouth, and you can probably get it at like a Sprouts or Whole Foods. I'm going to probably say Sprouts.
Okay.
That is spelt as well Byronia. Byronia? Byrona? I think it's Byronia.
Beats me. You've said that a lot of words I've never heard before.
Okay, horizontal cracks. Small cracks and grooves. So, you know, those like big old crackies across the tongue. Jeremiah has this on his tongue, but I do think it's from overeating sour candies when he was a kid.
Definitely.
Because the crack should be able to heal. But tell me if you have these issues, okay?
Let's do it.
Okay. Sometimes referred to as geographic tongue, because, you know, like all the cracks in it. The cracking of the tongue is a sign of malabsorption, especially of vitamin Bs. And they're often accompanied by a lack of energy. Do you feel like you have a lack of energy throughout your day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but that could come from many things, right?
It can, but vitamin B is what gives a lot of people energy.
What can you eat to you get your vitamin B?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Did you know that most of my overweight clients see when they like check with that they're deficient? A lot of them are deficient in vitamin B, especially B6 and B12. So okay. Wait, open your tongue up again. You have a little bit of the teeth mark thing at the front part of your, which is a part of having vitamin B deficiency as well.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking about all the foods I eat, and I don't think any of them really have vitamin B.
Yeah, they do. I know because I make your meals.
Tell me.
Okay, so if you've had a lengthy crack in your tongue for a significant period of time, that's normally when they start to develop. And you've had it since you were young. So getting a vitamin B complex and adding it to your diet is just normally you just feel better and more awake. You take a digestive enzyme and supplement with your meals before and you'll feel better. So that your vitamin B isn't being depleted every time you eat. Changing your diet, so not just eating the same things over and over and over again, helps replenish your vitamin B.
I'm glad you're cooking.
Yeah, I've changed your diet a lot since I first met you. Taking echinacea tincture, 20 drops for 2 weeks, 20 drops in the morning, and I would say 5 drops at night.
I used to take a whole dropper every night.
Yeah, me too. But it just helps move your lymph, which isn't bad at night or in the morning.
Okay.
Drinking slippery elm or peppermint teas also calm the stomach and just feel a lot better. Normally, like, you crave peppermint or that type of thing. Tea nettle also will help. And it has a really high, anything that seems super high in vitamin C also tends to have really good vitamin Bs in it. And then drinking 2 tablespoons of aloe vera juice before meals.
Nope.
I think aloe vera juice tastes really yummy. So do you want to know how I know you get a lot of vitamin B?
Yeah, tell me.
Because it's the highest in red meat.
Oh.
Fish. And dairy.
Huh.
And you eat.
So much red meat.
Yeah, not a ton of fish. But you eat a ton of red meat. And I know you eat organ supplements that have high vitamin B in it. I also give you supplements that have high vitamin B in it. So
cool.
I don't necessarily, that's why I don't necessarily think the crack in your tongue is from a vitamin B deficiency. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why it's nice whenever you go to someone and you can like analyze their life and lifestyle and you know about them. That's what makes my life easier when I do like a holistic breakdown with people. I'll be like, okay, well, childhood stuff, like, did you eat sour candies? Did you? And then we can break it down from there.
Yeah. Lots of Warheads. Lots of, what are they called? Those crazy kid candies?
I don't know.
The ones are like sweet and then sour.
Oh, Sour Patch
Kids. Yeah, those guys.
Crazy kid candies. I hate sour, so.
I used to eat bags of that and my tongue would get like, whoo.
That's wild. I would never. I could never. Just thinking about it, I'm doing that.
Yeah. My mouth waters like the sound of sour and spicy candy.
Like Warheads?
Oh, I'll start like saliva everywhere.
All right. Well, speaking of that, we know how we talked about a light yellow coating before.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was about?
Yeast.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about a thick yellow coating. So not just in the back of the throat, but from the back of the tongue all the way, like getting to the tip, tippity tip tip. Normally that means you have excessive heat in your gut.
Interesting.
So think about all of the warming herbs, or I'm sorry, yeah, the heating, yeah, like the astringent herbs before. A lot of them are also heated herbs. This, you'd want the opposite. So think of like mints, cooling.
Yeah.
Teas. Yeah. Lavender is in the cooling family. A lot of people, especially in Chinese medicine, they like to think yin and yang, right? So yin is like the cooling feminine aspect. Yang is the heat. So when people have thick yellow coating, they would say also eat more of a yin diet. Eat colder foods. Don't eat hot foods, to help keep the hot away, the inflammation away from your gut. And it would only be for like 3 to 4 days. Start with that and see how you're feeling. Not saying you can't have any heated foods, but what I am saying is, you know, like maybe drink some more pressed juices, do maybe a juice fasting or a juice cleanse, fresh juice, not juice that you buy from a store, no added sugars, but fresh juice. And you don't necessarily have to do a cleanse, but it's just a good reset for you and your body. It also means that you don't have enough healthy bacteria in your body to be able to fight the yeast and counterbalance the yeast. So if the coating is from the back of the tongue, you need to pay attention to your colon, because it means that your bowels aren't working the way that it should be. If it's near the front of your tongue, then you need to pay attention to like the upper GI tract. So think of your esophagus, stomach, even sometimes your heart. And things that you want to think about when it comes to solutions, you may be run down from doing so much. So you may have to just like kind of take a step back. This is really like, think about, remember yin and yang. So yang is about activity, inflammation, heat, and that includes movement. So this means more sitting, taking a step back, resting, relaxing, not bringing that heat into your digestive system, into your lymph. So don't go to a sauna, right? Go get into a cold plunge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but at the same time, from like the studies that I've seen, when you jump in a cold plunge, your gut actually warms up so much.
Yeah, it brings all of the blood to your gut. Yeah. But here's the thing. It's bringing all of your vitamin A cells. Remember when we talked about this in the Biblical Sex podcast, how vitamin A is one of the things that's really necessary for women who are pregnant in the beginning of babies' lives, because they're stem cells. So a plethora of stem cells is being brought to your gut, and that's a good thing. It means that it's able to help boost the mitochondria and the what?
I'm going to hold you to this when you get pregnant.
And the bacteria.
You're jumping in.
No, absolutely not. You guys, I run internally cold, so this is not, this is if you have a thick yellow coating. When I have that, I'll do it, okay? I hope I never get it. Anyway, you can also cool yourself down. These are other ways in case you don't want a cold plunge, okay? Cool yourself down with 2 tablespoons of aloe vera juice before meals. You can start eating and drinking a lot of sage tea. You want to get at least 2 cups a day in your, or like you can mix chamomile with it as well. That's kind of an alternate if you're pregnant, because sage isn't good if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. So sage and chamomile are 2 really good teas to help kind of cool you down internally. And I would also throw in lavender as well.
Okay.
I'm not doing a cold plunge. You guys, I bought Jeremiah one for Christmas. Guess how many times he's done it?
Twice.
You can't even count it, because you didn't even dip in the first time. You just stood in it.
Look.
1.5 times.
It is difficult.
I've done it 0.5. I stood in it. And I was like shivering in the rain in the backyard.
That was fun though, in the rain with you.
Anyway. Yeah.
Dancing in the rain.
Because we weren't wearing clothes.
That was fun.
It was fun. By the way, only one person can fit in the tub at a time.
Yes.
My husband is still stoked. If you guys want to talk about spicing up your relationship, cold plunge in the backyard naked by yourselves.
In the middle of the night in the rain.
Yeah. Okay, so now that our chinks are flushed, thinking about that, let's talk about a red-tipped tongue.
I don't know. My tongue's a little sore from laughing.
Oh, time for you to make sure that it's healthy. Okay, so a red tipped tongue normally indicates emotional upset or stress, which is interesting. You think about your face getting flushed, your tongue does too. So the next time you're crying, actually, if you stick out your tongue, the tip of your red.
Tongue turns red when you're stressed, anxiety.
Thank you for saying that for me.
And when I was a kid, my dad used to tell me that whenever I would tell a lie, my tongue turned black. And like, I'd always cover my tongue. He's like, stick your tongue out. And that's like, if I didn't want to stick my tongue out, that's how he knew I was lying.
Well, now we can do...
The tip of the tongue's red,
yeah,
your child's lying to you.
Oh, you can use it as a little indicator. That's a good idea.
Anxiety over there, huh, kiddo?
Yeah. The next time we're in an argument, I'm just going to say, stick your tongue out.
I know.
And hopefully it will end the argument quickly. I should say heated discussion, right? So anyway, well, a lot of people say that there normally is something in the past that's holding them, right?
What?
Like to their present circumstances that they can't get over. So if it's like, normally I'd say yes, in the moment, if you're really upset, your tongue will get red, but normally it's like a chronic thing. Like if your tongue is chronically red at the tip and you feel okay and feel happy, it means that you have like chronic emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Stick your tongue out.
Mm. Oh, great.
You get a little red on it.
You're lying.
No. Like right here.
The whole tip? I gotta look at
like, the rim.
The rim. I gotta look now. That's not red. It's just a little more pink from the rest of my tongue. That's normal. Yours is like that. Stick your tongue out. Well, maybe it's not.
Yours is a little bit redder.
You guys, I am in a trauma state, I guess.
You volunteered.
Anywho, emotional upset people.
It's okay, Lode. You don't have to be mad.
I'm not mad. I'm just stressed, I guess. I'm looking at it. You. I'm just kidding. I love you. Okay. When you're emotionally upset or stressed and like for a significant amount of time, obviously chronic stress leads to inflammation and causes so much inner body turbulence that people just they just love to ignore. I guess I'm one of those people. I know that. Like when Stacy did my blood pressure test and when I stood up and it like dropped significantly, that's how we knew that I was under such chronic fatigue and stress. My heart couldn't keep up with my body and my adrenals were failing. My liver wasn't doing well. That was right after our fourth miscarriage in September. And that was wild.
We should take pictures of our tongue throughout the year.
That'd be cool, actually. So here's the other thing. You may have an excess stress hormones also flowing through your blood system. That's what I wanted to say.
Mm.
When those are flowing consistently, the hormones will literally, like, they want to burn off in, like, the coolest place. So they like to come to your forehead, which is why people can get flush. And your tongue is another way, too. Like, you ever see dogs panting and they're trying to calm down? That's because all of the blood and heat is coming out of their tongue and out of their mouth.
Yeah.
When it comes to chronic stress like this, you guys, obviously there are some herbs that can help. Valerian is really great for circular thoughts. Chamomile is a central nervous system relaxant. Catnip is also another great central nervous system relaxant. Skullcap as well. Mm-hmm. Skullcap is also an anti-inflammatory specifically for the spine. So I love skullcap. I use it all the time. I have nerve inflammation.
I actually recommended this to one of my guys in the men's group.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they do it?
Not yet, but they plan on to.
Okay, cool. If they have questions.
Yeah.
Tell him to I'm call excited. Us.
He drinks tons of turmeric and some other stuff, and he's like, I have pain. So I'm like, try some skullcap.
Yeah, holistic husband, you guys. But Siberian ginseng and rudela are another really good ones to have before you eat because they're a little bit of an upper as well. So depressants aren't the only things that you have to take because these herbs kind of, the ones that I previously mentioned are more of a depressant, like they help calm you down. These ones help neutralize you a little bit more so you don't feel tired throughout the day.
Got it. Ginseng. that's sold in a lot of stores. You guys got to be careful with that. Do some research into the company you're buying.
Yeah, I agree with that. But also when it comes to stress, I mean, we're a Christian-based podcast. So you guys have to remember, I mean, Jeremiah and I'm not going to tell everybody else what to do. But Jeremiah and I, basically our first year of marriage, went through chronic fight or flight. We got married and immediately had a miscarriage, immediately had a second miscarriage after that, and 2 months later had a third one, and realized, whoa, it's do or die. We need to fix our health. Something's wrong. Went into fight or flight response with trying to fix that. Accidentally got pregnant again. Then had another miscarriage while also traveling and going to a best friend's wedding and doing all these other things. And we came back and realized, oh my gosh, a year has gone. It is now our anniversary was that week. And we were in nonstop fight or flight mode, especially me and my body physically, along with mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
But spiritually, during that time, Jeremiah and I knew that if we sought after the Lord and our community and were okay with being supported by people and being vulnerable, especially to God first, I felt like that year we spoke at God a lot. We prayed a lot. We talked to community a lot. And it's like that was just a season of talking, like almost like getting everything off of our chest. And finally this season, it's like, okay, we can now focus and like dwell in the word a little bit more. And we have been. We've been doing that way more than we were able to the first year of marriage. And we've been serving a lot more in the second year, because in the first year, it's like we just needed that time for us. And it's been a beautiful balance. Wouldn't you agree, love?
Yeah, I really feel like God made me mature really fast throughout that entire time. And I feel like I'm finally now catching up and like actually being able to perform my duties.
Yeah, Jeremiah also lost his job. I forgot about that. And we also just had really aggressive, heated arguments a lot.
It was hard.
We blamed each other a lot. And spiritual warfare was definitely prevalent because we allowed it to be there.
Yeah.
But
we did not think about to pray against it.
Yeah. We just didn't even know. It's like you didn't know what you don't even know.
Yeah.
But I want to recommend you guys that ultimately when it comes to stress and anxiety, you can take as much tea and you can take as many tinctures and herbal medicines that you want. You can do as many workout classes, break as many plates, go to as many screaming therapy sessions.
You could keep putting Band-Aids on.
Yeah. That's all it's ever going to be. Because when you know in your heart of hearts that you are null and void without the fruits in the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness.
Amen.
Wait, I'm not done.
I know.
Faithful. Well, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you don't have any of those things, because God says that he is those things. So if you do not have the Lord with you, if you don't have a relationship with him, like Jeremiah and I, we had a relationship with God last year, but we were clearly ignoring things that he wanted us to do.
Yeah.
So a lot of those things weren't prevalent in our lives with each other. They were individually, but not with each other in our marriage, which made it even worse, right?
Yeah, we had to work on our relationship with the Lord individually.
Yeah.
Because when we weren't, we were suffering.
Yeah. And then we'd start blaming each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to learn, once it was individual in a marriage, we had to learn how to bring that together. Also, we're only a little more than halfway through our second year of marriage. We don't know anything. Yeah. We're not sitting here saying like, oh yeah, marriage is so hard. Like, it is difficult, don't get me wrong, but we're here to say that if you are going through chronic stress things, it's also okay to just recognize the season that you're in and be okay with depending on true fellowship, people who are going to lift you up and hold you accountable,
and the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But, well, then ultimately the Lord. So we want to let you guys know that we are obviously always fervently and lovingly praying for all of you, every person who individually listens to this podcast. And we love that you guys love the body mapping episodes. And I hope I can make the second and third trimester more exciting, because I feel like they're not. I may just kind of blend them all together and have Jeremiah be it with me in the next episode, because we have really fun health experts that I'm so excited to interview and get going, and I'd rather them have more audio time. So I love you guys, and I'm so thankful that you listen to this podcast. I can't wait to hear what you think, and also like send me videos of you analyzing your tongues. I want to know what you think. And if you are like, oh my gosh, this made sense with what I've been struggling with. And please try some of the solutions as well. Obviously talk to your healthcare providers, especially if you're pregnant, nursing, or in any way, shape, or form have any type of illness or disease. Please always talk to your doctors first. Jeremiah and I are always here to support you and lift you up. And I love the in-depth conversations, and specifically to three of my listeners who have reached out to me within the past month who have had their own separate miscarriages. I want to let you ladies know that Jeremiah and I have been praying for you, and I'm really glad that we've had those intimate conversations together and how I've been able to support you. And I'm so thankful that you found us through this podcast and have followed me on Instagram, and we now have that intimate relationship. Don't forget to like, follow, share, and subscribe on Facebook, Instagram, and obviously on any type of podcasting network and YouTube that you're listening to. We love you guys, and we're always praying. Keep casting seeds. We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.